It's another special greeting to the GNCR listener. What an opportunity, what a day again that we can come together to share these valuable insights from Heartlines. As you know, my name is Monica. I'm not alone. I'm with Craig, who will be sharing all these insights with us. Before we start, can we just quickly pray? Lord, we delight in you even when troubles come. We, your people, are faced with many troubles and tribulations. But what we like, Lord, is that you promised to grant us your wisdom. Teach us to use it wisely. We come before you today with this program. I pray that you bless Craig as he is about to share these valuable insights and bless the listener as he receives these good tips. We want to ask all this, Lord, in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Craig, we are still on the money issues. Today we're doing value four, where our theme is wisdom in borrowing. Ash, immediately, I think, you know, people say, I can't wait for payday. I used to do that and say that now when I was also working on a paycheck. Just tell us, what does it mean to have wisdom in borrowing?
Yeah, Monica, that is a good question. If we look at the word wisdom, wisdom is the ability to judge or recognize what is right or true. And so wisdom in borrowing is having the insight and the ability to make wise financial decisions, you know, because many people look to borrow from any place if they're desperate to get money, and it's not always wise to borrow from just anyone or any person, because sharks. And once you get to start borrowing from those people, you will find you can get into a trap and you never get out of it. And eventually you can get to a place where you start losing more than your money.
So tell us, Craig, when does borrowing become unwise then?
There's a number of things where it's unwise to borrow. If you have the fear of being without something, because everybody seems to have this and you feeling left out, then that's not a good reason to go and borrow. If you're borrowing to keep up an image or to impress people, like you see people, hey, they have the new iPhone 13 and you're feeling left out that you don't have this iPhone, that's not a time to go and borrow. If you're going to borrow to buy clothing, yet you have a wardrobe full of clothing, that is an unwise situation to borrow. If it's something that is not needed, and if it's something trivial, like having a branded cell phone that everybody has, then that's not a good reason to go and borrow. Because getting into debt for something we don't really need, something that's going to be used up soon and we no longer need it, but we're still paying for it, that is unwise. Because in fact, we're going to land ourselves in a situation where we have bad debt because we now can't pay it. And so also, if we're borrowing and we're not reading the small print because we need desperation, yeah, and we're not reading there, hey, okay, I'm buying this fridge, but the small print says you're paying 40% interest over the next 5 years. And by the time the 5 years are up, your fridge has already stopped working. And so if we're going to be borrowing, we need to read the small print. We need to know what interest we're going to be paying and for how long are we going to be paying. And so that would be unwise. And as mentioned earlier, borrowing from loan sharks is unwise. It's really, that's when we've really got to a bad state. And in fact, we're going to get into a trap that could cause us to lose money, but cause harm to our family, because then they start making threats to be able to get their money back.
Let's help the listener here, Craig, whilst you have said that. What are the examples of wise borrowing and for whom it is sensible to borrow? When does it feel right?
Yeah, Monica, the truth is that very few people get through life without having to borrow money at some stage, unless you come from wealth and your parents, your family has deep pockets. But for most people, there will come a time where you're needing to borrow. But in doing that, you need to be wise. And that is where you're now going to have good debt. And so one of those would be if you're wanting to study and you do not have loans or bursaries, scholarships or bursaries to cover that, then that would be wise to go and borrow money, because by studying, it's going to increase your knowledge and skills, which means you have a better chance of getting a job. And so that would be an example of wise borrowing. And also in your studies, because you borrowed, you know, that you work hard and you be diligent in your studies. Another example of good borrowing would be if you're wanting to buy a house. You know, there's probably 1% of people who can go and buy a house for cash. So if you're wanting to buy a house, to borrow to buy a house, that is good debt, because over time, the value of your house will increase. So that's a good asset. And so if you buy a house for $500,000, after a few years, that house might be worth $700,000, but you've already paid off a portion of that house. So that is wise borrowing. And so you know the value of your asset is increasing. If you and that, if we contrast that with where you're going to borrow money to buy an expensive cell phone, the value of a cell phone decreases all the time. And so you're never going to get your money back, but you might still be paying for it. And so good borrowing would be if you're paying for studies, if you're buying a house. The third area that I'll just mention for today, where it might be good borrowing, is if you're borrowing to start a business or to scale up your business. That would be good debt, because it means you have the ability to increase your income and you then be able to pay that debt off. So those are three examples of what good borrowing and sensible borrowing would be.
Whilst we're on that, Craig, one may be asking, what are some of the benefits then of being wise when it comes to money? Because all this comes with wisdom.
Yeah, Monica, the truth is, you know, so many of us have made mistakes when it comes to money. And I speak today not as somebody who's always got it right, but somebody who knows what it's like to get into bad debts and to borrow poorly. So I just want to encourage our listeners, it's not a case of, hey, I've got it right all the time, but I've had to learn the hard way and learn wisdom and get to a place where I can reap the benefits of using my money wisely. And some of those benefits is peace of mind. Just having peace of mind. When you're going to sleep at night, you're not worrying, how am I going to pay this debt off? How am I going to, where am I going to get money to do, to pay the other person off? The other is marital harmony. You know what? Money is one of the biggest reasons for conflict in marriage. And so when we deal with our money wisely, you have a more peaceful marriage and it can avoid conflict. You know, because you are in agreement as to how you utilize your money, so that they would lower the levels of conflict in your marriage. Not that it rules it out completely, because in any relationship, the potential for conflict always exists. But to have peace of mind, marital harmony, to avoid conflict. The other thing about being wise when it comes to our money is saving our money so that we can buy things for cash instead of paying interest. You know, one of the things that that I did from somebody who used to have clothing accounts at various stores, and then I'm paying interest in making those purchases, is when I got out of debt, got rid of all of those cards, I then would buy for cash, which meant I could choose any shop to go and shop at. I could then even at places negotiate the price because I've got cash in my hand. And so then it means I'm paying far less. I can go buy from factory shops and I can get those same items at less than half the price in the big stores in the malls. And so, yeah, so there's many benefits. And the if I mention just one more, is that if we're using our money wisely, we can also be generous with the resource of money that we have. You know, when we think right now with all the challenges we faced in our city and province, with the unrest, with the flood, so many people are unemployed, family members are struggling. If we've been wise with our money, it means we can come alongside and assist people who might be struggling because they've lost their jobs, they've lost their house, they've lost everything. But when we are struggling with our money and we're not dealing well with it, then we're not able to assist. We're not able to be generous as God has called us to be generous people.
Well, these are good advices. You know, last time you spoke about being in debt, and now let's help the listeners as we're about to close. How can people get out of debt?
Yeah, the truth is, Monica, it doesn't matter how bad people's debts are. There is always a way to get out. And it's possible. I know. I've been there and been in extreme debt. And by then taking some wise decisions, was able to work myself out of that. And so, one, I would say people need to face the reality of their situation, where they are right now. And so I would say draw up a list of all your debts, including the total amount with interest and by when they need to be settled. And so that's facing it head on. Because we're often when we're in debt and we have the letters piling up and the red letters and blue letters and all these colors, we don't want to open them because we know we don't have a solution for them. The next step is to approach creditors and try to negotiate lower installments. Also, if your debt has been handed over to a debt collection agency, often you can go and negotiate what's owed, and that can be lowered if you come to an agreement with them, right? And so the aim is to get rid of your debt as quickly as possible. So I'd encourage people to take the smallest debts and try and get them off, because then it will motivate you because you're getting these small wins, and then you work your way in paying it off. The worst thing is to try and hide. That's the worst thing. Mm-hmm. Don't try and hide. Don't avoid speaking to them when they are calling you, because then for them, they're saying, we're going to have to take more drastic action. So talk to them, explain your situation, right? And then if you feel so overwhelmed that you don't even know where to start, you might say, Craig, hey, I don't even know. I'm in a mess. I need somebody to help me. Then my advice would be is to speak to a reputable debt counselor. And when I say that, my emphasis is on a reputable debt counselor. So get a recommendation from somebody, or you can call the National Credit Regulator and they can recommend a debt counselor to you. In fact, Monica, I'm even thinking maybe next week we should do a program where I can bring in a reputable debt counselor.
And that would be wonderful.
We can explore this further. And so there is somebody I know, and they do financial literacy training for people, etc. And I know they're reputable, not to make them famous. But if our listeners have questions, maybe they can start forwarding the questions through now. And we have the debt counselor in the studio, and they can unpack what that process looks like and why it is an option. And I know personally, I got out of debt without going to a debt counselor, but I also know of people that I've referred and have got help from a debt counselor. And 2 years later, they said to me, "Craig, you're not going to believe it. I am paying my last installment. Thank you so much for helping me." It's the most wonderful thing to hear, because when you're in debt, it's like you have this weight on your shoulders, like carrying an elephant and it doesn't want to get off your shoulders. The day you get out of debt, it's like the elephant has left and you're feeling light. And so I would say, Monica, if you're up to it, I can organize to have some debt counselor in the studio, and they can talk through what that process looks like.
Craig, that's an excellent idea, because the mistake we make most of the time, we just throw ideas to people not realizing that they are swimming in deep end. They can't even, lift a finger. So now bringing somebody who's going to show them how to move forward, or can also take their hand and move with them and take them out, as you say, I'm happy. I'm quite happy. And I know our listeners will be quite happy about this. You know, before you leave, Craig, I know that you have got a financial course that is running on financial wellness. Please just leave some information as you close.
Thank you for reminding me of that, Monica. For our listeners, if you would like to do the Values and Money course, it's available online, where you can go register on our website, which is heartlines.org.za. You can sign up for free and you can do the Values and Money course online. All these values we've been talking about, which can help you further in dealing with your money. If you, as a listener at your church, and you're saying, you know what, can we not have somebody come and do a workshop on this Values and Money, please feel free to contact me or contact Heartlines, and we can arrange for that to take place as well, because we want to see our people financially free. And to be financially free does not mean that you necessarily have to earn the most amount of money, because you got people who earn tons of money, but they're in debt also. It's about using your money wisely. That is the key. You know, and for me, Monica, the fact that in our country, 75% of people's salaries is every month just going to pay off debts. 75% tells me clearly we have a major problem with people dealing with finance in our country. And however we can help, we certainly want to do that.
Craig, I would like you to close, but our prayer today, because we know that debt has destroyed families, broke marriages. We know it's an evil, you know, and this lesson has been very important. In fact, these last lessons that we are doing on money have been very important for our people. But I would like you to pray in that area for those who are swimming in debt, that their eyes and minds may be open.
Certainly. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, you said that in your word that we cannot serve two masters. And we know, oh God, that you are our master. But we know also that the other master is mammon, which includes money, our material possessions. And Lord, we know that mammon has come to master people. And so many are being, so many of our people are in debt today. So many of our people are struggling financially. And Lord, I pray today specifically for those who are listening and are in debt and don't know which way to turn. I pray today, oh God, that you would give them wisdom, you would give them the courage to face the challenge, and that you would give them the wisdom to be able to take steps to move out of debt. Oh God, with you, there is nothing that is impossible. Your heart is that if we borrow, we must repay. And oh God, your heart is that, and release them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. May you be blessed as you go and practice these principles. That was Craig and Monica, Heartlines and Good News, bringing you valuable insights so that this world, with all its trials and tribulations, we may be able to maneuver easy and be able to deal with issues as they are supposed to be. Craig, thank you so much. May the Lord bless you.